Hey guys, today we have another awesome episode of The Burr Show. I'm your co-host, Chad Gallagher, joined with Joel Kraut of Burr Loans. Buy, rehab, rent, refi, repeat. Meet the inspiring people using Burr to create wealth and their tactics so you can too. Let's do it! We have an awesome guest joining here today that you are going to love. I want to welcome Lamon Lashley Jr. He's from Chicago, works with the land banks, has some incredible hacks that you're going to hear all about, and is just a really stand-up dude. So let's bring him on, and this should be fun.
Sorry about that, guys. What's going on?
Hey, it's all Lamon. Good, Lamon. How are you, buddy?
Chad, what's going on?
I hear you're a busy man.
Just a little bit.
It's good stuff.
How you guys feeling?
We're good today. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I was busy at one of the job sites, so I just had to kind of wrap up things and come over here just so I can be a part of this.
Well, thanks for joining on with us today.
For sure. Appreciate you guys for having me.
So, Lamon, why don't you give us a quick, you know, just a little bit of background on what you do full time and what your main focuses are.
All right. So, I specialize in residential real estate for the most part. And we primarily, like he said, work with the city of Chicago with a lot of various programs, but more importantly, the Cook County Land Bank. And these land banks is over 250 land banks nationwide, right? And just to sum up things, these land banks, pretty much their objective is to turn problem properties into productive properties. And they do so in which by it's more so like an auction style bidding, you know, so they have inventory and you guys can place bids on them. They're in Detroit, Atlanta, but we got the biggest one in Chicago, the Cook County Land Bank, CCLBA. We got the biggest one that started, I believe, in 2011, I think 2011. And pretty much these guys are, they're helping with that buy price, you know, because on MLS and the market, everything is priced extremely high. So the land banks, they're wiping pretty much like tax liens, they're wiping, you know, back taxes, water bills, all these different things. And they only want to work with trusted, reliable contractors who can get these properties back up to, you know, par pretty much. So they can kind of stimulate that kind of, you know, new ComEd services, you know, new gas bill and different things like that running. So that's pretty much, you know, the objective of the land banks. And I like them because they're helping us with that price at the end of the day, just that entry point. Because, I mean, you think about, like you said, property's been worth $120,000, you know, that can kind of box out a lot of people. So I like the fact that the land banks kind of work with us, you know, to help us get into that. So we've been doing residential real estate since about 2018. Me and my uncle, who was actually my mentor and partner as well, he authorized me to disclose some personal information. He worked for Verizon Wireless for about 18 years, and then they kind of parted ways. And at that point in time, he's actually my dad's twin brother, who passed in 1994 years ago. So pretty much we vowed to pretty much just, you know, work for our own last name and different things like that. And also restore Chicago too. That's something that he had a passion for. And I have a passion as well. So I'm actually 100% investing in real estate, all aspect, highs, lows, everything that it has to come with it. And we built over like 25 investment portfolio properties at the moment. We haven't done any flips. We're doing flips now. But, you know, I understand the importance of passive income and really building wealth. And then recently, just like a couple of weeks ago, I've just got into the commercial side of things where I've just purchased a mixed use commercial property. Once we finish it, it'll have about four apartments upstairs and three storefronts. So that's going to be pretty cool. And I'm working with the city of Chicago now, so I can see if it's any grants that can actually help assist us. So that's going to be pretty unique as well. So we've been in the works. We're just putting things together to kind of help this project unfold. So it's a pretty big project, but it's fun already just working on it.
Lamon, I got so many questions for you. Let's start with the land bank thing. So is it an online auction, or how do you actually bid on the properties?
Right. So the land bank, it is pretty much online, and they have a website where they have different inventory and they're showcasing, okay, these are the properties that we have available, you know, and it's up to you to kind of do your due diligence. And what I say by due diligence is like, hey, you know, or some tips I would say is, hey, you know, ride past these properties in the morning time, ride past them at night, you know what I'm saying? Also, you can, you know, look for properties that's near churches, schools, you know what I'm saying? But pretty much these land banks, they locate different properties citywide or countywide, because it's more so focused on county, and they're pretty much seeing these properties that's been vacant for years and years and years. That's becoming an issue for the city. And they're like, hey, what can we do? And then they acquire these properties. They look into them. They might lose them to foreclosure, water bills, different things like that. And then now they acquire the properties. They list them online to their websites. And now we as investors can go and make a bid on them to basically restore those properties. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And is there some, I guess what, not just anyone can bid on it? Like they need to know you're a certain kind of contractor and be trusted. Is that right?
Honestly, anyone could bid on them. That's the unique part of it. Anybody can bid on them within the land banks. A lot of people just don't know about them, that they have these opportunities available. But as a tip, I would say it is more beneficial if you're your own general contractor, or you can partner up with a general contractor to go in on a deal. And that'll also save you, you know, construction costs in the long run. But they actually do, you know, prioritize those individuals because they say, hey, you got documentation saying that, hey, you're serious behind what you're trying to do. Yep.
Do they give anybody precedence if somebody wants to be a primary resident and make that their home? Do they get a preferential treatment in the bidding, or is it truly open to everybody?
I would say it's truly open to everybody. I think it's geared towards investors. I believe it's geared towards investors. For the most part, they kind of let us do what we want to do with the properties, but they do understand like, hey, you know, we have to create that balance of homeowners and different things. So they do require at times to say, hey, we need this property flipped so that we can get a homeowner in this area. So not all of them are they allowing us to rent them out. That's what I would say. But overall, it's open to everyone as far as making a bid.
So they're trying to use the program really to help rebuild the neighborhoods and at the same time bring the properties back on the tax rolls. So it's good for both sides, right? It sounds like.
Yep, 100%.
We have what's the
average? Go ahead.
I'm saying we have a lady in Gary, Indiana, who bought actually 24 so far and is continually going. And she bought some of them literally for $500 to $1,500. And one of them just got appraised for $180,000.
Yeah.
So it's real.
No, it's definitely real. What were you going to say, Chad?
What's like the average purchase price you're buying these things for?
I would say every market is different because like he's saying in Indiana, she's getting them for $500 to $1,500. I've seen in Detroit, there's properties as low as $1,000, like literally $1,000. My market, you know, the prices go up, you know, we're in one of the larger cities, it's hefty around here. So on average, I'll say prices from 10,000 to 30,000, 10 to 40,000. It can go as high as, you know, 50 to 100,000 as well. I haven't seen any for 100, but I've seen commercial properties for 75,000, 65, you know, 1,000, different things like that. I've seen them that high. But for the most part, you can't beat it compared to what's the market price and that's out here. You know what I'm saying? Right. So as far as entry point, it's amazing. Like, I love land banks.
Well, especially as you can buy multiple properties in the same neighborhood, same blocks, and really start to create and change value, right? And control that process and be a big influencer. You know, it's huge. And then people end up coming to you.
Yeah. And I like the fact that also, 9 out of 10 times, if you're working with the city in any type of way, you're going to win. That's something I kind of learned. And the fact that on some of these projects, like, because they kind of give you like a deadline, they want you to kind of be done within a year's time. You know, or so, like you can still kind of reconsider different things if you don't and follow up. But what I do like is that they have connections with the city of Chicago, like as far as, hey, like these permits are holding these guys up, that they can reach out to these different departments and kind of help speed up your process. So I enjoy working for the city of Chicago.
That's one of the few times I've ever heard somebody say that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I've never heard anyone utter the words, I like working with the city of Chicago. That's amazing, Lamont.
What I would say is, you know, you got to look at everything is, or look at these guys like partners, even from the inspectors, from the Cook County Land Bank, from the appraisals. You know, it's about relationships. We're in real estate. So, you know, if you're doing good business and we do stellar business, like amazing business as far as rehabs, you know, we're good people and we're genuinely, you know, devoted to what we do. And all of my encounters or experience have been amazing. I really can't complain about anything. It's crazy.
Just been doing, just coming at it with that kind of positive attitude as a starting point, you know, it changes everything, right? That really changes the landscape for you, which is great. I mean, that's how it should be.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's just small things that you can do as well, too, as far as like when these guys or the land bank come inspect the properties or inspectors come inspect the properties, like we've shoveled like parks out, like, you know, to make sure, hey, they got a place to park, or making sure the job site's clean. Like, and they appreciate that stuff. Like, they always say, like, man, like, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's clean, it's crisp. Like, they can just tell just off that, you know, even landscape walking into the building, they like, hey, like, okay, this is some good work right here. You know what I'm saying? It just being up, you know, upstanding individual as well. Me and my uncle, you know, he installed a lot of core values in me. You know, so I take out of him a lot, but literally it's just been, you know, just amazing. You know what I'm saying? Just the small detail is something that you need to pay attention to. And it shows as far as getting those reactions from those guys, working with the city. Like, they be staying to talk for like hours, and normally inspectors got to leave, you know, in 5 to 10 minutes, like, hey, I got to go. They asking us, man, how do you do this? How are you doing that? Like, you know, I'm in a property right now that I rehab for my mom. It looks really nice. So I probably at the end, I'd like to show you guys how it looks. It's nice.
Sure.
We'd love to see it. Lamon, talk me through, maybe take me through an example of one deal. So I don't know, is there a property where, you know, what you bought it for, what you did to it? You know, I assume you then refied it at the end of the kind of the burr cycle. What you rented it for. Just give me an example of like a property that maybe comes to mind that's kind of a good one.
Okay. I would say a property I purchased from the Cook County Land Bank. It is, it was a multifamily property, right? And we purchased it for $45,000, right? That's what they had it listed for on the site. So it's a 2-unit property. And we utilized the BRRRR strategy, right?
Yeah.
And what we do is, in my process, I like to buy my properties either using a line of credit or cash. Now I own it outright. Well, now what we did was we got introduced to like a bridge loan or hard money lender. And it's a company that I work with directly called Renovo Financial, right? And pretty much because we own it outright, we're going in with leverage, like, that, you know, we got skin in the game pretty much. They gave us about $145,000 to rehab this property. Right. Typically, they want you to put like 10-20% down. But in one of my first deals from 2018, I actually own this property outright. So he's actually able to leverage this free and clear property and let them, you know, put a lien on it just until we complete the deal. So now they give us $145,000 to rehab the property. But for the people out there who don't know how hard money lenders work, they don't just give you all of that cash. You pretty much have to submit a scope of work. They approve you for things. And now you have to request what's called draws. So after you, like, for example, if you have to finish a kitchen for $10,000, you know, hey, you have to spend this $10,000 out of your pocket, call them out to schedule a draw, have them inspect it. And then when they inspect it, they'll reimburse you the funds through a wire or something like that. So end of the day, we finished the property in full. Take out about 6 to 8 months. I want to say 6 months because we were working on multiple different properties. And then I believe the plumbing inspections was kind of pushed back. That can be a lot of headache for people in Chicago, is the permits and blueprints and different things. So it's good to have relationships. So we purchased it and we was all in $189,000. So $45,000 purchase, $145,000 rehab. So we all in $189,000. Once we were completed, we rented it out to a Section 8 tenant up top, right? I love working with the city. And then I actually came across another program with the city of Chicago called Facing Forward. And they work with like homeless people or, you know, displaced women who, you know, may have been domestic abuse and different things like that. I just like to say displaced for the most part, right? So we work with them and we lease apartments to them as well, you know, to help you know, have a stabilized family, safe environments and different things like that. So we leased the property up for $1,500 each unit because it was 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom. Right. So we leased both
$1,500 each unit. So $3,000 for the entire property.
Yep. As far as gross rent coming in, $3,000 gross rent coming in. So once we leased them up, then we actually refinanced the property. And was what I like now is that it's a lot of hard money lenders that are refinancing out of construction loans. Yep. So instead of us going to a bank, we actually refinanced right from our construction loan with our hard money lender to a 30-year fixed mortgage. Right. So we refinanced it. I believe the mortgage on that one is like $1,601, about $1,600, right? Mortgage, taxable insurance. So we refinanced it. The property is worth $300,000. That's what it appraised. So that is the ARV after repair value. The hard money lender let us refinance 75% of that value. So if you take $300,000 and you multiply it by 75%, you get $225,000, right? Well, now with that $225,000, we paid ourselves back $45,000 to purchase, and we paid the hard money lender $145,000 for the construction loan. So that was all in $189,000. So now we left with $36,000. Well, what happens is this is what's called a surplus. Just for completing the job, it's tax-free money, and we're able to use this money to buy more and more investment properties. So not only did I get that $36,000 directly in a pocket, but now we have a cash flowing asset pretty much at the end of the day, and our return is going to be infinite solely because we got all our money out of the property. So that's like one of my best deals, and that's a deal that we did with the Cook County Land Bank, Renovo Financial, the hard money lender as well.
Dude, Lamont, that's incredible. What was the address? If people like, I like to look these up and put pictures.
4944 West Gladys Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60644. So we painted the front too. Like, we changed up the whole neighborhood. We own the property directly across the street as well. And I put up a unique picture on my Instagram showing how just the area changed from 2018, purchasing the property that I'm standing in the lawn, looking across the street to the property that we just talked about. And it completely changed over the last 5 years just because we had trees cut down. We painted the front. Like, it looks totally different.
Well, it's guys like you out there making a difference, changing the landscape for everybody. You know, you and a few other business friends that I'm sure you interact with all the time. I mean, 2, 3, 4, 5 houses each, it starts to make an impact.
Yeah.
Now, Lamont, $145K rehab, that's not for the faint of heart. You kind of glossed over that part, but that's a pretty hefty job there.
Yeah. So we pretty much do full good rehabs. And that's one thing that I actually didn't mention. I'm glad you asked that. But primarily the properties that's on the Cook County Land Bank, they're like unlivable. You know, they're vacant, they're distressed 110%. So they require full good rehabs. So, you know, I enjoy doing full good rehabs for, you know, a couple of reasons. The number one is I'm not dealing with maintenance down the line. And, you know, it takes a little bit more time. It costs a little bit more. But we got new electrical, new plumbing, new HVAC. The entire place is brand new and it's built to last. So I feel confident knowing that, hey, I put something together and I know it's built to last. You know, as long as you maintain a property. And when I say maintain, I'm talking about tuck pointing, which is just, you know, making sure that, you know, just we want to protect the water from entering the property or disturbing the structure of the property. So that's the roof, making sure that's together. And then as far as making sure, you know, different concretes and different things are pitched properly and anything to keep water away, that's what you want to focus on being an investor. Just keep the water away from your property. But yeah, we do full good rehabs, and that's why it's priced at so much. And if you're trying to do like an average as far as a full good rehab, I like to say between 80 to 100,000 per unit or per floor if you're trying to, you know, do a full good rehab. And it can be higher, it can be lower, just depends on the contract or different relationships you may have.
You know, as you said, doing those types of jobs and leaving yourself in a position with very low maintenance for the next 3 to 5 years is great. You know, the extra $20,000 you spend up front probably saves you 15 of that annually for the next 5 years.
5 to 10 years, really, because everything's brand new. So as long as you're getting it, you know, serviced, like literally everything is brand new. So it shouldn't be no maintenance issues. And we haven't had any. You know, we had a big flood in Chicago, you know, that took place just a couple weekends ago that kind of pushed things back and taught me a valuable lesson too. You know, but other than that, I haven't had any complaints.
Well, Lamont, I mean, I totally get the buying from the land bank. It sounds like using some great relationships there to kind of get things at probably a cheaper price than kind of on market. I'm curious, though. I think that like the one tough thing with that strategy is, like I kind of said, these are big rehab projects. How do you, you know, any secret sauce there for managing 145K rehab with these contractors, keeping it on target, you know, time-wise and cost-wise?
So what I would say is that, so the hard money lender that we work with, they kind of give us discounts when we do shop at Home Depot, so that can cut some of your costs down. And as far as at Home Depot, when you do shop, they have bulk pricing. So you almost get 30% off just from buying in bulk. So if you're a new investor, look for buying things in bulk. And I utilize business credit a lot as far as, you know, when we're shopping for material and different things like that, you know, where we're getting rewards points for every purchase that we make, and also having a Home Depot Pro account where we're getting incentives just for spending $500, you get $50, you know, $1,000, you know what I'm saying? So we're trying to capitalize on so many different areas. That's how we can save as far as the construction costs. Or like I said, partner with a contractor. That's another thing. And then, you know, try to find a mentor in your area who have these guys that have been vetted and that's, you know, our seasonal workers as well. So that now it's like, okay, you know, you're finding people that, you know, love what they do. You're finding people like we're going to get a better deal on the roof than somebody who just came in the game. You know what I'm saying? So having that mentor is like, that's golden, because now it's like, you know, like a fast pass. It's like saying, hey, here goes somebody that's going to give you a better price on it. So, you know, that's something also that I would say is like, hey, this is how you can cut that down. I also recommend getting multiple estimates. If you are rehabbing, get 3 estimates per trade or per everything you want to get done. You don't always got to go with the one that's low. You don't always got to go with the high one. Go with the one right in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Drive for dollars, get referrals from people around the neighborhood. You know, it's a few different ways. You just got to put your best foot forward and, you know, really be invested. You know what I'm saying?
Do you use the same team for all your jobs, or do you find that some of these guys are seasonal and you have to kind of find new contractors all the time?
Honestly, we've been working with the same team. So my uncle, he was like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because he had to commit so much of his time to Verizon. So some of the guys he's been working with for like 20 years. You know what I'm saying? So. And a hack is just when you do find one or two of the solid guys, just ask for their referrals. You know what I'm saying? And these guys believe it or not, a contractor has like a bunch of different contractor friends, because that's the industry they in, and they be good. So that's like a major hack. And then I'll leave these guys with another hack is like, as far as dealing with listing agents, right? Imagine a listing agent, right? Well, you can reach out to a listing agent who's selling a fully rehab project and ask her to introduce you to the contractor who actually fixed the home and is selling it, because now he has guys that are experienced, you know, you probably can get a good price, you know. But ultimately that goes back with me saying about purchasing properties from the land bank, because you make your money when you buy in real estate. So by you getting those properties so, you know, so low, you know, the construction budget is minimal compared to what you purchased it for. Like, we just recently purchased a 4-unit for $30,000. That's easily going to be worth about $600,000. And it ain't going to take that much as far as rehab, probably $300,000-$400,000 on a full gut. So you're talking about $250,000 in equity, like out the gate. So you make your money when you buy. So if you can find a property cheap, hey, you know what I'm saying? Run the numbers, stick to budget as best as you can. You're not going to be perfect in real estate. You know what I'm saying? Set a contingency to the side. I do $10,000 per every single deal, you know, just, you know, work it.
Well, first off, you know, I love a good hack. So that you got to my heart on that one, Lamont. I like that about, you know, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about that in terms of finding contractors. I've heard a lot of different approaches, but it's an interesting one of find a good contractor and then ask for his referrals or her referrals.
Usually, not always, but in most cities you'll go to in different areas like this, you're going to find there's usually 2-3 key agents. And they sell a lot of the properties, like 80% of the properties in these areas. They will know who to go to.
Yeah.
They know the guys that pull up in a truck. No one touches their tools. They're not afraid of anything. They know and comfortable with the layout. They work in these environments all the time. And like Lamont said, They only work with other people they trust. So he's really right there. A lot of times people don't break things down to their simplest, basic, most basic elements like he's doing right there. That's great stuff for the people to think about when they talk later.
And just treating the contractors, you know, like family, you know, that's a major hack as well. You know, having that environment for them that, you know, so they know like, hey, this is just not like a transaction, you know, it's business, but they don't have to feel like business. They don't got to feel like a transaction, you know? So sometimes we get the guys lunch, you know, so they can just still work, you know what I'm saying? And cut their time short. You know, we're actually engaging with them. You know what I'm saying? So those type of things matter and they make people feel comfortable. That's what I will say. And I also would like to ask, you know, that mentor factor, you know, just having my uncle who's seen these guys and who learned from the best, you know, so I'm getting knowledge from 20 years down. And, you know, that's why it pays to be on site. Right. Because now you get to a point where you're on site and you know how a property should be framed. You know, like, you know, I'm not a plumber, but I know, hey, this is a plumbing wall, you know, and this should go in this manner. You know what I'm saying? I'm there for inspections. I'm seeing how the inspectors are, you know, pulling on a condo and making sure these things are, you know, in sharp condition or different things like that. So just being on a site, you can learn so much. And it's an ongoing thing as well. Like you, it's so many layers into real estate that, you know, you just got to be present as much as possible. And, you know, the more that you're on the site, the more you're going to learn. And, you know, that'll kind of push things forward for you to actually, you know, even if I do want to go and get a new contractor, it's like, hey, I can go get a new one. Let me see how you work because I understand how they should be working. And now I can say, okay, I know you know how to do it this way, but I want you to do it my way because I was taught this way, you know, the more secure way. And then, you know, as far as what the inspectors teach, I like going with the inspectors because they know the codes. The city of Chicago is always changing things in any market. So, you know, it's good. That's why I look at them as partners because it's like, hey, we on a common goal. You want to make sure this place is safe, you know, that I'm doing safe and permitted work. And I want to make sure that I'm doing things right. So, you know, I don't want to look at you like, hey, you trying to just tell me what to do. No, you trying to tell me the right thing to do. So for the people that are getting into investing, just keep those things in mind.
You know, well, man, you ran through a lot there. I mean, I want to comment on one item, which is, look, I think something I learned about business is when you treat people like actual partners, whether they're entry-level employees or contractors or friends you meet along the way, it seems like good things happen. And you know, the people seem to kind of look out for you. And I can definitely tell that about you. You care about people. You treat people the right way. I'm sure your contractors aren't going to try to screw you. I'm curious on your codes point. You know, cities like Chicago are kind of notorious for having some tough codes, making you pull permits for everything. Do you pull every permit the way it's supposed to be pulled, or do you try to cut some corners there? You know, it seems like maybe you have some relationships there that might help you be able to get through some of those, but I know that, you know, Chicago's kind of notorious for having some tough code inspector folks.
Yeah, so I don't cut any corners. Like, we literally pull all the permits that's need to get pulled, you know, so that's as far as, you know, hiring that architect in the very beginning so they can help with that layout and help you, you know, get those permits that you exactly need, you know, which is pretty much going to be if you're doing any garages, any porches or decks, you know, anything as far as structural, you know, just in case you're trying to take out a window, put a window. And of course, the mechanicals, which is HVAC, plumbing, electrical, and different things like that. So it's not that many, but literally we don't cross no corners. I don't recommend anyone cross corners. Just do it right the first time so you won't have no issues. A lot of people try to save on funds and save on cash, but you end up spending more in the long run when you can just do it right the first time.
I would say at least 100 times a year, I echo what he just said to people. And they're always like, well, I could save 1500 here and, you know, maybe 1000 there. Like, peeps, this is not the place to save the money. This you're not doing yourself a favor. And if codes comes around and sees you doing that, they're going to make you rip the wall open. They're going to torture you.
I noticed about real estate is like, once you get on the bad list, it's like there's the good list and the bad list. And when you're in the good list, things kind of just start to flow your way. And the contractor kind of takes your word for stuff once in a while. And when you're on the bad list, it's like, man, and the city's out to get you. They can make life really painful.
Yeah. 100%. They definitely, they can, you know, but Chicago, we pretty big because we had the great Chicago fire of 1871. So, you know, one third of the city was burnt up. So they got to be real going, you know, real, they real big on like coding and, you know, fire codes and different things like that. So that's very important. Like even the smoke detectors and the smoke detectors in the homes, well, they have to be hardwired, you know, and have a battery as well, you know, because if the battery just went out, you know, these cribs can go on fire, you know, and nobody's notified. So, you know, just different things because we in Chicago, they can't be the tourists. But honestly, I don't know what people take on that. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like people just love cutting corners and that it really ain't the way to go. Because it hasn't been an issue to have an architect. It's literally like $3,000 to $4,000. Just have an architect. He's going to pull all the permits and make sure everything's together. It's a win-win. I don't understand it, you know, yeah. But that's the problem, that when people are flipping, they're trying to penny pitch and cut corners. Right. So I focus on buy and hold. I'm keeping these properties. So these properties are, I plan to keep my family for hundreds of years. So why would I not do them right? You know what I'm saying? Even if I was doing flipping, because I work with integrity, I would still do the same thing as well. But, you know, it's just to add an incentive to say, hey, let me just do this right all the way through 100%.
So you've got like 25 houses that, you know, have held, which is awesome. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, if you have to flip a couple to pay some bills, go for it. But in general, the wealth is created by holding. I'm curious now, do you self-manage these properties or do you hire a management company?
Right now I'm self-managing, honestly. Okay. It's a lot of family and friends. I'm self-managing. Like I said, it's not really that many issues. Like it's not, because the only issues would be for maintenance, but we don't have maintenance issues. So it's not becoming an issue, but we do plan on bringing a family member on and say, hey, okay, you know, help assist us. But honestly, it's really no managing. You know, we use a website called Rent Ready. You know, to have these guys, you know, pay their rent. And everybody just paid through the apps, or we working with Section 8, they pay on the first every month. It's literally like no issues. Like I cannot lie to you, it's no issues.
Have you had any weird landlord things come up along the way, or has it been pretty easy going?
Just recently, 2 weeks ago with the flood of the city of Chicago. So I learned the real valuable lesson, and you know, tips for our long-term buy and hold investors that's coming into the game. So when you have an individual that's in an ADU or a basement unit, right? Additional dwelling unit for people who don't know, or a basement unit, make sure your tenant has renter's insurance and make sure they add the endorsement of sewer and flooding. I know when you get renter's insurance, they don't add that. So that's something that I've learned. And now I'm, you know, teaching people and educating people like, hey, make sure you have these proper endorsements in place because it can backfire. You know, it's different than having a homeowner's insurance on a house, a home, you know, it's covered. But on a multifamily, your tenant should have renter's insurance, which is only about $100 or $200 a year, you know, but add the endorsement of sewer and flooding for the basement units. Like it's super vital. I recommend that. And that's something I'm going to be teaching about forever, just moving forward. Like, hey, you know, we got to be covered 100%.
So what happened? Tell me about the flood issue.
It was a flood like a couple weeks ago with the downtown. So pretty much Chicago had the NASCAR racing and different things like that. So it was a lot going on, but it was heavy rain and the sewer system had got backed up because we actually waterproofed a couple of our properties. But, you know, the sewer systems were backed up. So it's videos online showing that it's so much pressure underneath the ground that the water is shooting up. Like in a different city, you know, in different locations around the city of Chicago, and a lot of the homes flooded. And they flooded because the water, it was pretty much backed up and it has no way to go. You know what I'm saying? So by having nowhere to go, it literally went back in everybody's home and it started with the basement unit. So we got water up to 4 or 5 feet high, you know, on a lot of different properties. And even one of our neighbors, he actually been living at the property that he was in for 50 years and he never seen a flood a day in his life. That was his first time seeing a flood on his property. So, you know, it was real big. A lot of properties was damaged and destroyed. It was crazy, man. So, you know, it's something that we learned. So we kind of just, you know, picking up the slack from that and just trying to build off that.
So I guess, property insurance doesn't cover it because it's a flood. Is that the problem?
Unless it's a home, Yes, but if it's a multifamily property, the tenant will have to have renter's insurance. So now, you know, the city is getting involved because they considered it a disaster. And they're working with different programs like FEMA and stuff. But I mean, that's still a process. Like, we got to wait. These people who had to throw out mattresses, couches, and a lot of different things. So it's like, you know, what has to be done to clean up? You know, it's a whole domino effect behind it. And it's a process.
Yeah, I know in the past when I've been involved with some situations like that, a lot of times you end up fighting with your insurance company. And one of the ways around it is having wind coverage. So,
Lamont, did you have a lot of damage to your properties, or was it mostly just tenant, personal belongings that were damaged?
It's crazy. Majority of it was tenants' issues, but one of our properties really had damage done to the foundation because the water, it was so high, and we had been digging footings and we installed a metal beam. So it was really dug up. The water got down and disturbed the integrity of the home. And like, it was already a crack in the foundation, but it cracked. So we luckily that we had the metal beams installed, the property didn't fall down because we literally just had these metal beams installed. But that foundation is cracked and is damaged. So, you know, we have to come out of additional expenses that, you know, we didn't, you know, per se see. We didn't see these things. So that's why it's good to have a contingency in place for these type of instances. So, you know, so that was the one, that was one that we might have to take a hit on. You know what I'm saying?
Because you were like mid repair of the project when the flood hit, basically.
I would say, like, as far as doing the basement, you know, because we like to work down up, you know, typically we're starting with the roof first, but we like to start, you know, in the basement as far as putting a metal beam and then work our way up. But we was waiting on permits, you know what I'm saying? Because the way we did the garage, it was a little different and we working on the permits, but they had just got back to us literally like this week, but by the time the flood happened, it was just sitting there. So it really messed up one of our properties, like real bad, like real, real, real bad.
Sorry to hear that for you.
Yeah, it's cool. You just got to work through it.
I know from my own experience working with you in the past, you also have a group that you mentor. Are you still doing that? Are you working with that group? Do you have the people in place? Are they up coming to the job sites with you? What's going on with that?
We've been in communications, you know, via Zoom and different things like that. You know, they ask me different questions and things, but I've actually been putting together my pre-recorded course, which is going to be my Real Estate Academy. And I'm actually rolling that out in the next week or so, you know, where it's going to be more engaged. We're going to have a lot of more individuals so they can, you know, just engage with us on our monthly calls. And now we're going to really start pushing things forward with that as well. But
why don't you show us your house you're in right now? Show us what you did to it.
Oh, the property that I'm in right now. Okay. Yeah. So this is a property. It's a property that it's pretty much, it was a 5-bed, 3-bathroom home. But what we did was we duplexed it up, the main level, we duplexed up and we made that into a 4-bed, 2-bath. And instead of going to the basement, we cut that off and we made the basement a 2-bed, 1-bath property. And the reason why we did that is because we can generate more income. For a 5-bedroom house, we can get about $2,200. But for a 4-bedroom apartment duplexed up, we can get $2,000. And then for 2-bed, 1-bath in the basement, we can get $1,300. So now we're grossing $3,300 versus just $2,200 a month. And our property's worth at least $30,000 to $50,000 more than what it would be just because it's multiple units.
Right. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, so I'll show it to you right now. This is pretty much like the front room. Yep, so it's the front room open concept. Let me see if I can show it right here. Pretty much, she did a real good job at fixing it up. So what I'm in is like the dining room area. I'm sitting at the table right there. And then we have the kitchen right here.
Did you have to open it up? Was it kind of closed off?
Yep. It was a door. Yep, it was a door. It was actually a wall right here. And when we opened up the wall, it was a hidden door in between the walls. So that was pretty cool. But we actually opened this up. All right, there we go.
Yeah, so
we left those kind of up, you know, because it's still like a homey style, you know, type of apartment. So we did a quartz countertop. We put an island in the middle.
Do you try to make your kitchens all white these days? Is that kind of your go-to?
No, we do. But we also do like a bluish gray as far as the cabinets. These cabinets are shaker styles. What I do like doing is having chrome finishes. So like a chrome sink, right? Chrome handles. I like to do high-end finishes. Stainless steel appliances, another hack for my new investors. Make sure you get the warranty up to 5 years. We had a stove go out and we had to pay full price for it when we could have just got the insurance for $100 and been good for 5 years. So all my new investors out there, when you get your new appliances, we order from ABT. I don't know if they're nationwide, but that's pretty good as well. So it's, you know, it's pretty nice over here as well. Washer and dryer set up.
I got the stackables.
Yeah, the stackables. They're always good in these type of locations.
Yeah. Have you used the one piece yet?
No, I haven't. I probably won't use that though. I heard about them. I probably won't do it. I just like timing, like, cause I don't want to wait while I'm washing to dry something up. This is another room she got pretty laid out, pretty nice.
And the place looks great. I'll take the Pac-Man game.
Yeah. And then I'll just show you this real quick. It's the bathroom. So we put a stand-up shower right here. We had to make best use of space, but we got that full bathroom. And this is where actually the basement pretty much goes, but we closed it off.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so it was an unfinished basement? Is that what it was?
Yeah, well, it was all vacant, you know, so it was damaged. But it was like, hey, let's go down to the basement. It's a home. But instead of duplexing it down, we duplexed it up with the first unit. And then in the basement, we just, you know, made it its own home. So these the staircase to go upstairs. Yep. And then that's the front room. Then I'll just show you the front just so you can kind of just see a little bit. We use some real nice doors. Some real nice doors. They're real tall.
The place really looks great.
So then like the basement has its own front entrance right here.
Oh. Look at that.
So I got it.
Was that there before or do you have to add that?
No, this was already there. That's what made us do it. It was like, oh, it got its own front entrance. So we was like, hey, why not? You know what I'm saying?
And you've only been doing it since 2018.
Yeah, but it's that mentor. It's that mentor.
Absolutely. What a difference. Place looks great. You got a really good handle on the job.
Lamont, is there something to that story? I mean, it sounded like you lost your dad and then maybe your uncle became kind of like a father figure to you, I'm guessing, or like a mentor.
Yeah, so pretty much, you know, they were best friends because they was twins. It's different than having a brother and sister than being a twin. So, you know, they were everything, but it just, it clicked because it's a large group of us. My uncle has about like 8-9 kids and then my dad has 3. So, you know, of course his hands are full, but you know, if you always have a passion for like certain things like real estate and then your nephew actually has a passion too, because I started reading that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that he had me read and it kind of put us on the same wavelength and literally we just been goal driven. Like, hey, you know, and it just shows how powerful partnership is, you know, because, you know, he's old fashioned, old school, you know, coming with, you know, traditional values, which all hold weight. You know, but I'm coming with creative finance and then, you know, I'm real big on financial literacy, like credit. You know, my credit score is 844. I have over $1 million in credit funding. So, you know, that's something that I specialize in as well. You know, so I'm coming in with that and we're utilizing that with hard money lenders and, you know, just other things. It's just a great partnership. You know, we're working for the same goals as far as within our family. So a lot of those different things keep us like equally yoked. And you get the best out of each other when you're all on that same wavelength. So he's been doing this forever, like, you know, just being there, being available, being accessible. And that was something that he prided himself on being present. You know, it's hard being present a lot of the times with so much different distractions or too much work and different things. But he understood like family core values and different things. It was something he didn't have growing up. He always told us that was his main focus. So and it shows in today, you know, with a lot of my values that I do in business, they come from just my family orientation.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, man. What a great story. You know, taking what could have been a really horrible, horrible story and leading to ending up on the streets or whatever. And instead, you know, you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and the rest is history.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, Lamont, man, that's awesome. What an incredible story. I actually learned a lot. I haven't talked to someone who works with land banks like you have before. And I don't know, there must've been 10 or 15 different hacks I got out of this one. some really high quality stuff. And yeah, man, I just want to say thanks for joining us and coming on the show. And sometime you're at the job site, we'd love to do a quick video with you. You can walk us through what you're up to.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to, man. Thanks. I definitely appreciate it, Joel. You, Chad, it was great meeting you. I'm looking forward to connecting with you as well. You know, just staying in connection at the end of the day. I hope the guys put a lot of value away too, as well, to new investors.
Yeah, it's great. Lamont, how do people follow you? Are you like an Instagram guy, or what's your social media of choice?
Yeah, I'm social media all around. Lamont Jr., TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, LAMONJR, Lamont Jr. My full name is Lamont Lashley Jr. So I'm on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Thread, the new Threads, everything. They can kind of reach me there.
Lamont, I'll be out in about 10 days in Chicago. I'll hit you up beforehand. Hopefully we can get together.
Okay, for sure.
That'll be good. Thanks a lot for jumping on with us and sharing. It's been really cool. I mean, a lot of great stuff, as Chad said. You know, for a guy in the game only since 2018, it's pretty amazing how old school you are. That's great. You can teach a lot of people a lot of good stuff. That's good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, some of your things about how you treat people is not normal for someone your age. And hey, don't forget about Burr loans either. These guys have some money to give you.
Yeah. We're definitely up looking at building that area as well. Man, Joel, we spoke for sure.
All right, my man. Well, hey, thanks for joining. Super really fun getting to know you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right, later, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Lamont. Have a great afternoon.
Right, you too.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Real Estate Hackers Show. If you've not yet become a member of Real Estate Hackers, you can do that for free at realestatehackers.com. Get access to all of the amazing real estate hacker deals from incredible vendors, on a ton of content and materials for you, the investor. You can follow Real Estate Hackers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you can give us a 5-star review for the podcast, I would personally really appreciate it. We read every review, and thank you so much for helping us grow this community for you, the real estate investor.